Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the GSL podcast. My name is Wendell. We're officially in September. That means a lot of things. That means the regular season's over. That means playoffs are coming up. That means the Pecora finale is coming up this month. Sadly, it also means the podcast will be ending for the season this month. So it's a big, big month for the podcast and for the GSL. So I hope you guys are all excited as I am. And we got a lot to talk about this episode, including revealing the first annual GSL All-Star list. Now, some of the astute listeners might realize that it was the GSL first team before, but that was just kind of confusing for some people. So I'm just renaming it to the GSL All-Stars to keep it very, very basic and everyone knows what's going on. So the ballots are in, the count has been made, and later on this episode, I will be revealing the best 11 players in the GSL this year as voted by, I was going to say by you, the fans, but it really wasn't you, the fans. It was managers, coaches, some other notable people around the league, and you'll be seeing the results later on. So look forward to that. We'll also be talking about a lot of recaps and doing a big playoff preview since we got some great matchups coming up in the first round. So look forward to all that. But first off, let's start with the news. First up in the news, another public service announcement to someone from Margao or Mopsa. As a lot of listeners have noticed, I haven't had anyone from Mopsa or Margao on the podcast. This is not due to a lack of trying. Multiple Margao people were contacted or contacted me, but then they couldn't make it on the show, or some of them didn't want to do it because for their own personal reasons. And as far as Mopsa goes, I was only contacted by one member of Mopsa who I invited on but have not heard from. So, I mean, it's really up to those two teams if they want to be on the show, if they want their opinion to be vocalized. Some disgruntled Margao fans have accused the podcast of maybe being biased against them or things like that, but it's not my fault if no representatives want to come on. And even if a fan of Margao wants to come on, that'd be fine too, because I'm sure you watch a lot of games, you have some insight maybe, but I'm going to continue what I do to stay objective and cover all the teams as evenly as I can. But until someone from one of those teams steps up and comes on the podcast, we'll never get some insight into their team, which is kind of a shame because I'd really like to know how it works over there with leadership and their practices and how they come together for practices. And then they have two teams, how Mopsa was formed, being like a kind of offshoot of Margao. So a lot of interesting topics to go through with them, but no one to talk to about those topics. So just some clarification on why those two teams haven't been featured on the podcast as of yet. We still have a few episodes remaining, so there is still a chance for that to happen. But as of now, we'll just keep on cruising on without them, and hopefully they'll be able to join us at some point. Next up, the full playoff schedule has been released and there have been some changes, so definitely pay attention to the new schedule. So basically, the quarterfinals are still on September 11th, this Sunday, and as far as the matchups go, we'll go through all those later, but it's at 10:30 a.m. and 12 p.m. are the different game times. The semifinals is on September 18th at Centennial, 10:30 a.m. and 12:15. The quarterfinals are also all at Centennial, just so you know. And the finals has moved now to September 24th, and it will be at Victoria Park Stadium in Brampton at 1 p.m. So a couple things to know about the finals, because I know a lot of fans want to come up for the finals. It's September 24th now instead of October 1st. It's September 24th is a Saturday, so make sure you remember that. It's the only game of the year that's played on a Saturday rather than a Sunday, so it's Saturday at 1 p.m., and it's at the Victoria Park Stadium in Brampton, which is actually a great venue because it's got bleachers for all the fans. The field is amazing. Like, it's probably the best soccer field I've seen and played on, and it's going to be great, a great venue for the final, so that's awesome. So just take note of those new dates, mark them down, and hopefully we'll see you at all the playoff games. All right, that's it for the news. Let's get into some match recaps. All right, the first recap we have is from August 18th between Margao and Kolva during the midweek game. And boy, was this a game. Final score was Kolva 4, Margao 3, and what was an absolute insane game. Margao was in the lead 3-1 at half. But Kolva somehow rallied in the second half and scored three unanswered goals to win 4-3. So goal scorers for Margao were Gavin DeMello with one and Dwayne Lobo Perez with two. And for Colva, Dwayne Francis with one, Jeremy Pinto with one, and Johnny Van Dreen with two. So an absolute insane game, and really, really crucial for Colva, because by beating Margo in this game, they gave themselves an opportunity later on in the season to possibly move up in the standings in a big way. We'll get into that a little bit later, but this was a crucial midweek table game between the two of them, because they're both kind of in the middle of the table and battling for position, and the difference between finishing third or fifth or sixth is actually huge in this league. So a huge result for Colva. Big props to them for coming back down from 3-1. One of Marga's biggest strengths, I would say, is that when they take a lead, they really know how to shut down the game, delay the game, and really drag it out and make sure you don't come back in the game. That's why I find them a team that's very difficult to come back on, even if they're only up 1-0. So the fact that they were down 3-1 and then managed to not even tie the game, but actually win the game 4-3 is very impressive. So huge props to Colva on that result. Next up, moving on to Sunday's games, we have Lotlim versus Aguada. As I previously mentioned, this could have been an amazing showdown and kind of a battle for first place, but unfortunately, Lotlim secured first place well in advance of this game. So, and Aguada had already secured second place, so it was actually kind of a meaningless game. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you want momentum going in the playoffs, you want to make a statement, blah, blah, blah. But to be honest, when you're first and second and it doesn't matter, it really is not going to make a difference, because they're not playing each other in the quarters or even the semis. The earliest they would meet is the finals, which is like a month later. So you're not going to remember that last game that you played a month ago as far as momentum or tactics, things like that. So unfortunately, this game was kind of a waste. Lotlim won 5-0, so big props to them for turning on the score sheet. But Aguada is the type of team, they really step up when they're motivated and like kind of the championship's on the line or it's like a big game. They're a team that plays up to competition, whereas Lotlim's more consistent. They'll have a good performance no matter, even if it's a meaningless game. So this was always kind of, in my opinion, going to be an easy Lotlim victory. Goals were scored by Dane, Nick Da Silva, Neil Da Silva, and Aaron Atwal. Nick had two goals. And Nick's actually had a pretty good season goal scoring wise, because he alternates between kind of right mid, right D. He used to be more of a four, then he went to center back. So he's kind of a pretty versatile player. But the fact that he's scoring a bunch of goals this season is a credit to him, because scoring goals from the right D, right mid position isn't as easy as it sounds like it would be. I mean, I know a lot of people think right D, obviously you're not going to score goals, but even right winger, usually your goal is to beat the defender and maybe make a cross or pass it to your striker, pass it to your center mid coming in late. It's kind of hard to be on the right side and cut all the way in and go right to the goal unless you have a kind of a through ball breakaway scenario. So credit to him for getting a bunch of goals during the season. Moving on, we have the game between Margao and Aldana. This is the game where Margao fans were in uproar that we won, because they claimed on the podcast we would just talk about how we beat them fair and square. And the truth is we did beat them fair and square. The problem is Margao only had 10 people to start the game because Bradley Pereira was late. And so they were playing short. But when he arrived and they were at full strength, it still was 0-0. But it was also noticeable that Gavin DeMello was absent. So Margot wasn't at full strength, but they still had Dwayne and Bradley and their goalkeeper, things like that. So this was a great game. It was kind of even back and forth when Bradley arrived. But then about 10 minutes after he came, I managed to score a goal from pretty far out, just kind of blasted the ball, went over the goalie under the crossbar. Now, a lot of people have been waiting for this because, you know, I scored a goal. It's an important goal. Am I going to harbor the point, or am I going to, you know, really make myself feel good? Am I going to have a whole new segment about it? And no, the truth is, scored a goal. It's not a big deal. I'm used to scoring them. Have many times before, and I plan on doing in the future. So not going to belabor the point, not going to big myself up or anything like that. Just a normal goal. So this was a big boost to our team. We took the lead against Margo. As I mentioned previously, Margo is the type of team you really want to take the lead against, because then they'll have to push up. They'll have to risk a little bit more defensively to try and get an equalizing goal. But unfortunately, about 10 minutes later, Dwayne Loba Perez went down the right wing, had a nice cross, and Nikhil Alvarez came in from the left back position in front of the net and scored. So as I mentioned before, it's hard to score from a defensive position, on the wing backs especially, but one of the ways a lot of people do it in the league is they arrive late. And by late, I don't mean like they're the late guy running in. I mean really late. So when the guy's on the right wing crossing it in, you have your center forward going in, you have your midfielders going in, and then you can sometimes have a defender that's like the top of the box or kind of creeping in. And Nikhil does this very well. He used to play striker, and he's one of those versatile players that's actually been moved around a bunch. and currently he's playing left back for Margao. So he's not the strongest defensively, although I wouldn't say he's a defensive liability because he still makes tackles. He's still a very smart player. He's not the greatest defender, but he's great because he can contribute a lot on the offensive side as well. Whether or not it be crosses or coming in late and scoring goals, he's done that a bunch of times this season. So once again, he came in late, had a nice one-time volley and put in the back of the net. So it was 1-1. So this was a real big letdown because once you tie up the game against Marga, they're more likely to kind of beat you or come back on you. The good news is right before half, we had a throw and threw it into our forward, Calvin, and he one-touched it over the defender and blasted it left foot, top left corner. And it was like unbelievable goal, like probably goal of the season. Unfortunately, we don't have, you know, replays and everyone doesn't watch every game. So you can't actually vote on a goal of the season or talk about a goal of the season. But for anyone that was there, they agreed that this goal was absolutely insane. And it was right at the whistle. So 2-1 at half. The second half was just kind of back and forth. And I'd say in the last 15 or 20 minutes, Margao had all of the pressure and all the possession. And it was constantly just like a wave after wave after attack. And this wasn't really a conscious decision on us to just like sit back and just play defense. It was more because they moved Bradley from center back to center mid. That pushes him up a bit. Dwayne pushed up from center mid to striker. So they're kind of moving their core guys and their core talent more offensively. So it resulted in more possession for them, more chances. And we kind of clung on to a 2-1 victory. But nonetheless, didn't matter for us because the division was on the line. And if we knew we had to beat them to win the division. So we were really happy, 1-2-1, defended our division title. So that was really, really good. And we felt great about it because we started off the season 7 games in without a win. So to come back strong in the second half of the season and win the division was huge for us. Next up, we have 2 games that feature Mopsa. So at this point in the standings in the season, there was a lot on the line. Mopsa was currently sitting at last place playing Donna Paula, who was one spot above them in 6th place, and they knew that if they won, they would go above them in the standings. But they also knew that they had one more game in hand against Kolva during the midweek game, and even if they tied Donna Paula and then won that game, they can move ahead in the standings. So kind of a tricky scenario. Do you go for a win but risk a loss and then you're done, or do you just go for a tie? So not exactly sure what Mopsa's strategy was, but in the end they did tie. It was 0-0. Nothing really happened in that game against Donna Paula. It was a great result for Donna Paula because it meant that unless Mopsa won or tied their last game, Donna Paula would finish 6th place, meaning they would play the 3rd place team rather than the 2nd place team, and also they weren't last in the league. And so far in their seasons up until this point, Donna Paula has always finished last. So really, really big result for them, keeping the pressure on Mopsa. This led to the last game of the season, which was Mopsa versus Kolva, and this game had drastic implications for a lot of teams. So basically, the scenario was if Kolva won the game, they would finish 3rd. But if they lost the game, they would finish 4th. And for that, the difference of what that means is if they finished 3rd, which they did because they won 3-0, they play Donna Paula in the first round. And if they win that, they play the winner between Aguada and Mops in the 2nd round. And then there would be the finals. Whereas if they lost, they would play Margao in the 1st round. If they beat Margao, they would play Lotlem in the 2nd round, and then they'd go to the finals. So as you can tell, like very different paths, and one could argue one path being much more challenging than the other. So from the Aldena perspective, we were all praying that Kolva would lose because the exact opposite scenario for them would happen for us. So because they won, we now play Margao, and then we play Lotlem if we win against Margao. So huge game for them. They really needed to win, and that's exactly what they did. 3-0 with goals from Orville Maciel and 2 goals from Jeremy Pinto just after half. So unfortunately, Mops are not able to come with the result, meaning they finished last and they will play Aguada. But a huge, huge result for Kolva. They needed a win. They got the win, and big props to them finishing 3rd. I think a lot higher than a lot of people would have predicted. That's it for match recaps. Let's get into playoff predictions. All right, the regular season's over, so our final standings, Lotlem number 1, Aguada number 2, Kolva number 3, Aldena number 4, Margao number 5, Donna Paula number 6, and Mopsa number 7. So going through the matchups, Lotlem gets the first place bye, so they'll go straight to the semifinals, and they will play the winner of Aldena versus Margao. So this is a 4th versus 5th place game. This is going to be, I think, the game of the quarterfinals. It's the 2 most evenly matched teams, which makes sense because it's, you know, the closest in the standings. But even I think just roster and talent wise, two very even teams. And if you look at the games they've played so far, the first game, Margao won 2-1, and the second game, Aldana won 2-1. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the teams line up, especially who will play goalie for Margao. Most likely will be Gavin, who's been playing goalie in their playoff games and doing a good job for them in the previous years. So I think he'll be lining up in net for them. And what that means for them is that they'll be very dependent on Bradley, Dwayne, Nikhil, Brendan, players like this to really step up and have a good game. I think this game is going to revolve around how well Dwayne does. Because since he plays usually in the middle of the park, he scores goals for them, he dictates the pace. If he has a good game, I think Margao will have a good game. If he has a bad game, then Margao will have a bad game. As far as the Aldana perspective, there's really not much for us to do this game. We really just have to show up and play our best game. It's kind of the type of game where if we show up, we play our best game, I think we win. If we show up, we play even like 20% less than our best game, I think we lose. So a very even game, and I think it's going to be the best match of the quarterfinals. I, of course, obviously will predict an Aldana win, not only because I'm on the team, but from an unbiased perspective, I think we do have a little bit more momentum since we won the last game against them. And even the first game we played them, they scored in like the 94th minute to beat us. And secondly, just roster-wise, I think that we can do some things to really match up against them well and kind of neutralize their threats. So overall, I think it's going to be a really good game, and I think it could go either way. Next up, we have number 2 Aguada versus number 7 Mopsa. A lot depends on who shows up for Aguada, but Aguada has this tendency to make sure everyone shows up for the playoffs. So I think if they bring their full squad, I think it's just going to be too much for Mopsa to handle with the likes of Cruyff, Casey, Ian, Lester, the usual suspects from Aguada. So I think Aguada is going to have a strong showing here, and I think they're going to be able to beat Mopsa and advance to the semis. Our last game of the quarterfinals is Colva versus Dona Paula. Now, this is a game that could be one of the surprises of the quarterfinals. Dona Paula has had a really good season, lots of consistent results, only a couple of blowouts here and there, but overall, really consistent results. Colva, on the other hand, has kind of an up and down season, but trending upwards in the sense that they've had some big results later on in the season. When they needed to win, they won against Margao, against Mopsa, things like that. But I feel like if Colva has an off day and Dona Paula has like the game of their lives, I feel like this could be one of those upsets. Personally, I do think Colva will win. I think it'll be a close game, but Colva's experience will come through and their veterans will coach them through the playoffs. But I do think this is going to be a closer game than people think. And hopefully it is. Hopefully all the playoff games are close. A lot of fans turn up for the quarterfinals. So hopefully we'll see a lot of people there. DJ Kaya, we're playing Margao. Maybe he'll show his face for the first time this year. He's been in hiding since he lost the Pecora, but hopefully he'll turn up for the quarters and hopefully we'll get a good fan turnout. All right, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. It's time to announce the first annual GSL All-Star list. Just a little bit of insight into how this list was made. A ballot was sent out to team managers, coaches, captains, representatives from the league, some notable other people, and each team was sent a ballot, so each team had the chance to be represented as long as they sent theirs in. As far as the ballot goes, you can nominate multiple people for a position, and for example, midfield, you would nominate 3 people. The first person nominated would get 5 points, the second person 3 points, and the third person 1 point. And at the end, I would tally all the ballots and see all the players, add their points, and whoever has the most points makes it onto the team. As far as when I'm announcing the people on the team, the people that I announce first and in the center of the field are the people with the most points. Just so you have some relative as to where people shaped up, you might notice, let's say, a center mid player playing left mid, and that's because they didn't reach enough points as the people that made it into the middle. So a little bit of insight onto who kind of ranked where, but overall, don't look at it as kind of a ranking. It's more, these are the best 11 in total as a team for the entire league. So huge props to the 11 that made it, and let's get into it. Starting off in net for the All-Stars is Andrew D'Souza from Aguada. In front of him, his center back, Bradley Pereira from Margao, and Jason D'Souza from Aldana. On the left back, we have Casey DeMello from Aguada. And on the right back, we have Gavin DeMello from Margao. Moving up to the midfield, in center mid, Neil Da Silva. and Dwayne Lobo Perez, Neil being from Lotolim, Dwayne from Margao. At left mid, we have Cryfe Dos Remedios from Aguada, and at right mid, we have Johnny Van Dreen from Colva. Finally, our two strikers, Lester Fernandez from Aguada and Nicholas Green from Lotolim. So looking at the list overall, I think it's a great summary of the league, and I think it's pretty much what I would have picked as the top 11 players as well. It's great to get representation from almost all the teams. A shout out to AJ Pacheco from Donna Paula, just missing out on a place on the All-Star list. Did get a bunch of nominations, but unfortunately did not have high enough nominations, high enough points to make the list. But honestly, a great team, and the type of team that if you put this put these 11 players in like the Toronto League or Ontario Soccer League, I think they would do very well. Good representation from Margao with their key players, Gavin, Bradley, and Dwayne all making the team. Shows that reputation does matter in these votes, because although Margao's not having the greatest season, these three players are great players and have played well this year as well as many years in the past. Obviously, they're not having the best season this year, but still very talented players. Aguada had the most representation with Andrew, Casey, Cryfe, and Lester, but also well-deserved as they're having a really good season. And Lester, a huge, huge season for him, leading the league in goals. Lotolim with Neil and Nick Green. I think people might be surprised that Lotoli did not have more nominations considering their first place undefeated. And I think the reason for that is they're a very balanced team overall, and they have a lot of talent and a lot of different players that play very well. So the problem with having a lot of diffuse talent is it doesn't really focus on one player that everyone identifies as being the best. So I think everyone recognizes Neil's played well and Nick Green's had a really good season as well, scoring a lot of goals. But there are other players from other teams that have had notable, really standout seasons, and that's why only two people from Lotolim made it. Good shout out to Jason D'Souza from Aldana, who made the team as a defender. This is a no-brainer in my opinion. Him and Bradley are the two best defenders in the league, without a doubt. So it's good to have at least one person represented, and I think he is the best representative of Aldana. Not only is he the captain, but as far as the defensive mentality of the team goes, he really is the leader from that standpoint. So nice to get one player there. And lastly, Johnny Van Dreen. Many people have said breakout player of the season, having an unbelievable year, getting many compliments from a lot of players, a lot of trash talking from a lot of other players. I won't name them, but having a great year. So I'm really happy one of the three Colva guys in the middle made it, because I think the three of them are really good tandem together. And shout out to Johnny Van Dreen for making the All-Star list. So that's it for this year's All-Star list. A big incentive for people to come out, you know, next year and try and play well to make the team. And we can see each year if it's the same players making it, if different people are having good seasons, people falling off the map, things like that. All right, I hope you enjoyed the All-Star list. Thanks to everyone who submitted their ballots. And that's it for this week's episode. Huge games this Sunday with all the playoffs going on. Can't wait to see what happens. And I'll be back next week with a brand new episode.